All right, Deuteronomy chapter 1. I want to talk to you about being a respecter of persons. Don't be a respecter of persons. And I thought about this study. That phrase hit me the other day. And that phrase hit me the other day, respecter of persons. And I thought we'd take and do a little Bible study here through that in the Scriptures and see what the Bible says about a respecter of persons. And really kind of give us an idea of where, of how, you know, we could be guilty of being a respecter of persons in our life, and how God doesn't want us to do that. It seems like the age that we live in, that's all we have is a respecters of persons here and not following absolute truth. Which the difference in being a respecter of persons and not being one is that a person that a respecter is not a respecter of persons, you know, they'll follow the truth. They'll follow God. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 16. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. So, in other words, first of all, he's saying that we need to be, we ought not be a respecter of persons in our judgment, in how we judge a matter. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse number 17, he says, you shall not respect persons in judgment. But you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man. For the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. What is he saying here? He is saying, don't be a respecter of persons, whether you shall hear the, you shall hear the small or the great. And number one, he says, don't be afraid of the face of man. There's a lot of preaching that goes on today that is just very much a respecter of persons. That they won't, there are pastors that won't touch some of the hard things, won't preach on some of the hard things, and the reason they won't is because they are concerned, they are afraid of man's face. Well, the fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible says. That's what the fear of man does. You're not supposed to have the fear of man. Amen? You're supposed to have the fear of God. In preaching, you better have the fear of God, or you better not preach at all. Amen? You better not. If you're more scared of what a man's going to think, then don't get in the pulpit. Amen? Don't do it. Too many respecters of persons today in the pulpit. It's causing a lot of damage. All right, Deuteronomy 16:19. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Now, let's put this into perspective. What is it saying? He is saying here, you are not to take a gift when you're judging a matter. You're not to take a gift from one person. All right? Now, I've heard people try to use this and say, well, preachers, that's why they should just work a full-time job and they shouldn't be given anything and they shouldn't, because then they're going to... That's not true. That's not even what this verse says. Now, there are times that a preacher will work. I did it for 5 years where I didn't do anything else but that. There are times that you'll do that. There are times that a preacher will do that and should do that if he starts church and other things like that. That'll come up. But there'll come a time when they'll need more help. They'll need more of you. Amen. What is he talking about? He's talking about in judgment. Well, this guy might give more. This guy might give me a gift. So I'm gonna favor this man in the judgment, or this man in the judgment, because of something that he did for me, or a gift that he's done. No, righteousness must be exalted. Truth must be given. It must be a judgment based on truth. He said, thou shalt not be afraid of amazed, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. He's saying, no, you base everything off what this book says, not because somebody was nice to you or kind to you. Listen, there's sometimes some things that come up between two people, and you love both of them. But you've got to judge, and if one is wrong, I don't care who it is, if it's your wife, if it's your mother, if it's your sister, if it's your father, if it's another church member, whatever the case may be, truth has to prevail. Was what you did was wrong? Was it wrong? Well, then you're wrong. That's how that works. Doesn't matter how nice they are, how kind they are. If it's wrong, it's wrong. You tell them it's wrong. That's what you do. I mean, there are people out there. Now, at the same time, there are people out there that I feel they want to get into somebody else's business all the time and find out what they're, and pinpoint down something they disagree with their doctrine or something else or with their church or whatever. I don't have time to do that really. Now, if it comes to my face and I have to deal with it, then I'll deal with it. And I have. There's a few men out there that are spreading lies out there that I felt like I needed to take care of, so I did. And I will do that if there's, because people are damaged by lies. So we need to tell the truth about some things. Second Samuel chapter 14, verse number 14. For we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person. Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. She is saying here that God doesn't, as a judge, does not respect any person, but he does have mercy. He does have grace. He does provide that mercy and grace towards somebody. And that's really what needs to be done. It needs to be, listen, you can be merciful, you can be gracious to people, but God is not a respecter of persons. If you sin grievously against him, he's not going to give you a pass because you've done a bunch of good things in your life. Amen. God's not a respecter of persons. God's not going to say, well, because you're a pastor, you can get away with sin. No. Man will say that, but God doesn't say that. Amen. 2 Chronicles 19:14. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back on the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. You can't bribe God. There's some people that preach, well, you gotta, if you give, then you're gonna, you know, that there's some people that preach that, a prosperity gospel just about, where if you, the more money you give, the more right you are with God. That doesn't mean anything, okay? If you're giving money so you can get favor with God, that's ridiculous. As a child of God, you have favor with God. As an obedient child, you have more favor with God when you're in fellowship with him. But you are still his son no matter what. Amen. However, what he's saying here is, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no respect of persons. He's telling these judges, he said, you judge righteously. God doesn't respect any person. So your judgment better be righteous judgment. You better judge the truth. Not because you like somebody or you don't like somebody. So you judge it differently. Maybe somebody's been, you know, that's why in a court of law, that's why judges, you know, they don't let some things admissible into court. Because like, you're not trying them on the things that they did here. You are trying them on what they're accused of right here. So deal with what they're accused of right here. Now, if there's something related to that, then they'll try to let that information be admissible. But that judge, one that follows the law, he wants you to judge exactly the situation and the facts of it and nothing else. And that's how you're supposed to judge things. The situation and the facts and the truth of it. Not, doesn't matter if they're a nice person or this or that. You know, it matters that you judge that. You know, that you judge that. Proverbs 24, verse number 23. Proverbs 24:23. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. There's some people that, well, this person's rich and this person's poor. You know, so I'll favor the poor person. We're going to get to that in a second. Proverbs 24:24, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. See, God says that he wants, look what's going on now. You know why people hate America, don't you? Because we don't judge righteous judgment. We live in our absolute iniquity and wickedness, right? We live in our absolute wickedness and iniquity, and then guess what? We go off to judge other people. And what do we judge them for? The same things that we're guilty of? The same things that we are absolutely guilty of? It's sad. So then the world sees us as what? A respecter of persons. So the world sees us today. Proverbs 28:21, to have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. No respect of persons. He says, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He doesn't care, he can be bought off. He's a judge that can be bought off. Because he doesn't live by principle, by what is the truth, but what is gain for him. I think we might have some judges like that today in America. Maybe some Supreme Court justices like that. If they don't like a law, they just rewrite it. They don't judge it righteously. They don't judge it rightly. They just rewrite it. But they're all ran by Jesuits anyway. So, Acts chapter 10 and verse number 34. Acts chapter 10, verse number 34. Did you know that there's no respect of persons in salvation? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Now listen to me. There is not another gospel for the Jews to be saved with. There is not another way that they're saved. I've heard people say, well, in the tribulation, they're going to be saved this way. No, you're going to be saved one way. And that's through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They love not their lives unto death. It is the same Lamb. It is the same Christ. It is the same gospel. You're not going to play that game with me. That there's going to be some people. Today we're being taught that, well, God is a respecter of persons with salvation, because we're taught that, well, because somebody's a Jew, they're going to get automatically saved differently. They're just going to, because it says all Israel will be saved. No, that is what it says. But if you look at the context of what is said there, what does it say? It shows that they're going to flee away from that abomination that maketh desolate, and they're going to believe the truth. They're going to know the truth. And that remnant shall be saved. There'll be a remnant saved. But they're not saved. They're not saved a different way, by another gospel, by another Jesus, by some other way. They're not saved. Listen, remember when I showed you in Romans chapter 4? Remember when I showed you that? How you're the children of God by Abraham through Christ, by Christ? That's how you're made a child of God? He says by Christ. He says by faith, by faithful Abraham. What did Jesus say to him and John the Baptist say to him? You think because you're Abraham's seed? Well, God can raise these stones up to be children. Salvation doesn't include a bloodline, okay? It's not, well, you got this blood in you, so you're automatically saved. No, you got to come through Jesus Christ. God is no respecter of persons. He said it. I don't care if you're a Jew or a Gentile, a Greek or a barbarian. It matters not. You come through Christ or you don't come at all. God's not a respecter of persons. Romans chapter 2, verse number 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Doesn't matter. God's not a respecter of persons. I don't care who you are. You need to be saved by Jesus Christ. And by the way, those Old Testament saints, and people say, well, they didn't know the name of Jesus Christ. No, but they were obedient to the light that was given to them. And they waited for God. They waited for Jesus to lead them captive, to free them. They had to wait for him in paradise. Or else they weren't getting there either. Because you come by Jesus Christ or you don't come at all. Because Jesus is the justifier. There's no other gospel. There's no other way. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So God says, don't be a respecter of persons if you're a servant, or if you're a boss or an employee, and you have servants underneath you. Don't you be a respecter of persons. Don't threaten them. Don't exalt yourself above them just because they work for you. You are children of God. If they're the saved, they're the child of God, and you have a master in heaven, and God is not a respecter of persons. He's not going to be okay with you just because you're a boss or an employee or something like that you can treat somebody poorly like that. No, because God's not a respecter of persons. You treat him right. God's not impressed with you having money. God's not impressed with you being in leadership. God's not impressed with that. Because he's not a respecter of persons. Amen. By the way, there's no respect of persons in God's order either. There's no respect of persons in his order. Colossians chapter 3, turn there please. Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, he's gonna lay an order down here. He's going to fix an order here, the way things are supposed to be. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. You see that? Now, if it just says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, and that was it, then according to man's understanding, that means that that wife would have to submit to you in everything. Whether you do evil and rotten and wicked and want her to be a part of your wickedness, well, you got to submit. That's what the Bible says. It's not unlimited submission. Unlimited submission only belongs to God. We are only in limited submission to God himself and to his word, because he is the absolute truth. Okay? So a wife, it says, as fit in the Lord. Why does it say that? So you don't get to be a devil, that's why. And expect her to submit to your wickedness. That's why. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So he's going through an order. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Look, look, look. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. What is he saying? Yep, this is God's order. And in all that order, wherever you fit in there, you're not allowed to violate God's order, or you're not allowed to violate God and his truth through all that. That means a father cannot ask a child to do something wicked and expect them to obey the wickedness. Like God gave the rules about, God gave the law about in Israel that no father should sell their daughter off into whoredom. Right? And no daughters or sons should play the harlot, it said. So if a father would ask somebody to do that, then they are not to obey that. They'd ask their wife to do that, then they are not to obey that. Why? Because that is disobeying God. That's why. God is still to be supreme. The Lord Jesus Christ is to be supreme, that He might, in all things, He might have the preeminence. So we follow this book. So if somebody asks you to submit to evil and to do evil, you are not to obey that. I don't care if it's your husband or who it is, pastor, whoever it is. You're not, they're not to submit to evil. Thou shalt not run to a with a multitude to do evil. It's one of the reasons why you'll never see me send my children off to some foreign soil to fight. Well, that's going to make some people mad. Let it. They're my kids. That's what I believe. Wholeheartedly from the scriptures, that I don't want my children dying in some war overseas somewhere. For what? For what? For rich men to get richer? So these principalities and these powers and these popes and these antichrists can play games like they're puppet masters and play games with people's children to get them into wars all over the place, watch them die. And then when they come back mangled and beaten up, they don't want to take care of them either. But they'll herd over thousands of people from the border, from other nations, and they want to take care of them. They don't care about life. Our country has proven they don't care about life. If they did, they wouldn't be killing 50 million babies. So don't tell me you're trying to free some nation. Get off that garbage. You're a liar. I look at George Bush, Barack Obama, all of them right to their face. You're a filthy liar. Dirty, rotten devils. Yeah, catch your breath. Bible says you're not to submit to that evil. You're not to go about that evil. Somebody asks you to do something wickedly, you don't go do it. Don't you teach your kids that? Now somebody tells you to do something wrong, you don't do it. So you think God's different? No, God's to be obeyed above all. God is supreme above all. The Lord is supreme above all. So He is Lord of all. So you obey Him. And if somebody, and when authority or leadership tells you to disobey God, well, I'm just following orders. Yeah. You have a lot of people spouting that off today. Well, I'm just following orders. I'm just following orders. Whose? God's or man's? Because it seems to me that we have a nation full of people that are respecters of persons, but could care less what God thinks about it. Doesn't matter what God thinks. Well, God says, He hears that, and there is no respect of persons. He says, I don't care if you're a father, a husband, a wife, a pastor, a servant, or a servant or a master, whatever you are still subject to me. And you and I, though we have somebody over us, though we may have somebody over us, we are still subject to God. And if somebody asks you to disobey God, you obey God. Because there's going to come a time in this nation, and it already is, but it's coming more and more, and you're going to see it coming where you're going to be ordered to disobey God. And you will have to make your mind up if you will be a respecter of persons or if you will obey God. You just remember, choose you this day whom you will serve. If Baal is God, then follow him. If the Lord is God, then follow Him. Amen. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. You know what? We're not to have a respect of persons for the poor or for the rich. Ye shall do, Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 15, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Here's what he's saying here. There are some people that will automatically make a rich man guilty because, well, he's rich, and that other person's poor. So they feel sorry for that poor person. Even though that poor person could have been the one that was wrong, they don't care. That person's poor, and they despise rich people, so they're just going to automatically make the rich person guilty. And God said, don't judge like that. Don't judge like that. Don't have respect for the rich man and say, well, because you're rich and you have a lot of clout, I'm going to rule in your favor. Don't do that. But also, don't look at the poor and say, well, because you're poor, I feel sorry for you. So even though you did wrong, I'm going to judge in your favor. That's not righteous judgment. It doesn't matter. I'll give you an example of this. Jesse Ventura this week, and everything has been going on. I don't know if you can make sure. Now, Jesse Ventura is an atheist that's going to die and go to hell. He's a wicked man that needs to repent of his sins and get born again by the Spirit of God. Anyway, but with that being, and by the way, he says he's an atheist, but God doesn't believe in atheists. He's a fool, is what he is. He's an absolute fool. Because the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So he's not an atheist, he's a fool. Let's get it straight. That's the right name. He's a fool. Anyway, but regardless, that doesn't matter. This man, this sniper, is a professional killer for the government that everybody feels sorry for. This professional sniper, what happened to him? Well, he wrote a book and he made $6.9 million on it, his estate did. And he wrote this book, and in this book he said that he met Jesse Ventura somewhere at some get together that SEALs go to or whatever, and he said that he punched. He told Jesse Ventura, "If you say that again, I'm gonna knock you out." And what happened was that it wasn't true. He never did that. He just lied and said he did that to Ventura, but he really didn't. And then it went to court. Well, meanwhile, this guy, this sniper that was a professional killer for the U.S. military. By the way, that's what they are, as professional killers, right? I mean, do you think that's different? I mean, that's pretty accurate, isn't it? You get paid to kill people, and you get paid real handsomely to do it like that. I mean, it's just the facts. Anyway, so this man was at a shooting range, and somebody went nuts and shot him and killed him. Live by the sword, die by the sword. Anyway, I know that's not very popular, but it's true, okay? What you sow, you reap. Just because somebody puts a flag on it doesn't mean it does not mean that it's approved by God. You get that? You still got it. I looked at a soldier one time that came across and was mad at my preaching and said, "You're just like Hamas, and you're just like these guys over here, and all this." And started pointing his finger at me and saying all this kind of stuff. And we had to shoot people like you over there and do all this stuff and blah, because, jihad. You're just like these. He tried to say that to me. I looked right at him, pointed my finger at him, told him, "Sir, you split hell wide open. You better repent of that murder. You better repent of that death that you killed somebody. You better repent of that. Because patriots go to hell too." Any man that'll vaunt himself against the preaching of God's word, and that's the first thing that God brought up to me. Well, he's a murderer, so tell him he's a murderer. Just tell him he's a murderer. Anyway, I know, that's not very popular, is it? Anyway, so this man died. And everybody's like, "Oh, you can't sue his estate anymore because he's dead and now it's going to take money away from his wife and everything else." So everybody was mad, and they all said that they all wanted to go to court. So Ventura took him to court, and he won. And the jury said, "Yeah, well, that didn't happen. According to all these witnesses, that was a lie." So then they awarded him $1.8 million. And everybody's mad at him. Why? Okay, listen, I don't like the way Ventura talks. I don't agree with the people that he's hooked up with. But you know something right now? If those were the facts, and they were in front of him, and that's what it was, you can't be a respecter of persons and say, "Well, that person's this." Listen, that lady may have lost $1.8 million, but that estate made $6.9 million off a bunch of lies. Get it? But you see how we think today? We don't think, in America, we act like we want to feel sorry for people. We just feel sorry for them. It doesn't matter. You can't be a respecter of persons. If the truth is the truth and this is what happened and this person lied, it doesn't matter if they're poor, it doesn't matter if they're rich, it doesn't matter if their husband just died. If they lied, they lied, and you judge righteous judgment. But that's why our land is so filled with people that have situation ethics and everything else, and nobody, there's no right and there's no wrong anymore. Everybody's coming down on him because he did this, and I'm not defending his life. What I'm telling you is that if he was right, then he was right. You can't, because you don't like somebody, you can't judge against them just because you don't like them. That's not how it's supposed to work, and God says he hates that. And that's why truth is falling in the streets in America today, and we don't have it any longer. People don't understand what truth really is. And the reason why is because they're a respecter of persons. Well, I feel sorry for her because this happened. It doesn't matter if you feel sorry for her. James chapter 2, verse number 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my brethren, beloved, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Boy, they sure do. We got a whole bunch of them, don't we, in this world today? Whole bunch of rich people in the world today. And what are they doing? Blaspheming God's name. And laughing about it. And what do they do to Christians? They draw them before men. And they want to put the hooks to them right now. They want to shut Christians up right now. That's exactly what they want to do. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So listen, don't respect because somebody don't have a lot of money, they can't give a lot. Don't be a respecter of persons. Don't be a respecter of persons over somebody else. Don't do that. Whether they're rich or they're poor, they're all your brethren. Who cares? Doesn't matter. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. God is not a respecter of persons. When you call unto him, he's not. God says, be holy. You may have done a whole bunch of things for God, but that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that you don't have to live for him. That doesn't mean you don't have to be faithful. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to live a holy, righteous, separated life for him because you've done some things. Or God's going to just wink at your sin and you can go ahead and get away with it because you've done a few good things in your life. No, God is not a respecter of persons. He's not. And you and I shouldn't be either. Truth ought to be what's important. That ought to be what's first and foremost. Sometimes there's pastors and there's people that will, they don't want to, you know, there's fathers that don't want to stand up to their sons. There's mothers and children, they don't want to stand up. They don't want to say what's right. They don't want to stand for what's right because they're afraid what their family's going to think of them. Well, congratulations, you've become a respecter of persons. And you've put man before God and you've said, I'm more concerned with what you think than what God thinks. You and I, we have to come to a place in our Christian life where we are going to stand up for what's right and what's truth. And we're not going to be respected. I don't care if it's your dad, your mom, your sister, your cousin, your your favorite aunt. I don't care who it is. You stand up for the truth in your own life. You can't force other people to live for God, but you can tell them the truth, and you can stand up for what's right. And you don't have to run with that multitude to do wrong because you're afraid of what they're going to think of you. Well, I don't want to tell them I don't do this because they might get upset or watch movies or do this or do these other things, or I don't drink anymore. I don't smoke anymore. I don't do these things anymore. I don't do any of these things anymore, but I don't want people to think I'm weird. I don't want people to have a problem with anything. Who cares? Why do you care if somebody else has a problem with it? You know, it used to be in this country, we used to be men that just stood up and be like, you know what, I don't care, it's my home, I'll do what I want. You don't like it, that's fine. I'll do what the Lord wants me to do here. We'll serve the Lord, I'll be faithful to God, I'll do right no matter what. And because that we have so many respecters of you know, let me tell you what. You know what baffles me? I'm going to come out in the crowd here. Here's what baffles me. So many people live with no absolutes. It's amazing to me. It's like nothing is right, absolutely. Nothing is wrong, absolutely. So, well, that's just rock music, that's just your opinion. No, that's not my opinion. It's wicked as hell, and I can prove it to you, and I have. Oh, drinking. Well, that's just a gray area. No, it's not a gray area. It's wicked. I like somebody called it the wicked liquid. I like that. That's good. The wicked liquid. That's pretty good. Yeah. You like that? Is that good, brother? You're going to use that on the street, aren't you? I knew it. It was a street preacher and his wife that had that. And she called it the wicked liquid. I'm like, that's great. I'm so stealing that. I'm going to preach a sermon sometime called the wicked liquid now. Yeah. It's good. Anyway, but nobody wants, there's no absolutes. You know, it's just like, no, I mean, CCM, contemporary Christian music. Oh, that's just a gray area. No, it's not. It's rock. It's not a gray area. It's rock and roll. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's not a gray area. It's rock. It's rock music. Plain and simple. And it's another spirit. And it's a movement that's full of sodomites. Because it's another spirit, and that's why. What's that? What's it? What are you saying? What's the name? Which group? I forget the name of it. What's the name of it? I can't remember. This new group that just came out, and this guy said he was a sodomite or whatever. Well, yeah, he just came out, though, and admitted that he was a sodomite. But, hey, CCM's good. I mean, don't worry about it, right? It's no big deal. It is a big deal. All these things are big deal. Separation from sin, all these things are a big deal. It's like people don't want to come out one way or the other on things. Like we can't call public school wicked. Why? It's wicked. Just call it wicked. It is. It's wicked. It's preaching a bunch of humanism to kids. I mean, it's evil. Isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, if they preach that there is no God in heaven, and they teach you that you evolved from a monkey, that is an absolute opposite of what is preached here. So either we are right, or they are right. Which one is right? What is that? That's black and white. It's really simple. Either you believe you came from a monkey, or a rock, or slime, which some of those professors might have, or you were created by God. So they preach one message, and we preach another. So which one? Is it right, or is it wrong, or is it a gray area? Either Hollywood is wicked, or it's good. Is there an in-between? I don't think there is there? Is there a gray area? I don't see it. I haven't seen that gray area yet. Seems like God calls it evil. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. See, the other person says, well, okay, we're either going to live right or we're going to live wrong. But living in between just don't work. Because guess what? It's called double-mindedness. And guess what happens? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Either it's right or it's wrong. Either it's true or it's false. That's right. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. That's right. So it's very simple. It's not hard. We like to make it harder than what it is. And we become a respecter of persons. If you ask me, I mean, if my children ask me, I tell them the truth. Well, that person let, well, Mom, how come they let their family lets them watch this? Well, I don't know, son, but it's wrong. Amen. And here's why it's wrong. What do we do? Tell them, well, everybody has a different standard. And some people like, some people are okay with evil, and some people are not. What? Well, that's just our opinion. Yeah, if I lived my life based off an opinion, I wouldn't even be here, okay? So the next crackpot that tells you that that's just an opinion, tell him to read this. Amen. It's not an opinion. It's God's word. And it's truth. Amen. And anything else in that is just a respecter of persons. It's just saying, well, you know, I'm going to respect this person and respect that person. It's just ridiculous. That's what we've come to, though. We've come to that time now, though, in America more than ever, that everybody's just a respecter of persons. That's it. We don't want to stand up. We don't want to let our voice be heard. Now, all the evil, but see, your friends and your family and other ones, they don't have a problem with letting their voice be heard, how they disagree with your preacher and your pastor and your church. They have no problem being bold about that. And I got no problem being bold about this. See what I mean? They got no problem being bold about that. They start huffing and puffing. Yeah, most guilty people do. See, we got to live our lives. We got to live our lives either in truth or an error. We're going to live in one of two ways. You can make up this little gray, this devil's playground called a gray area, but it's nothing more than wrong. We've got to start making lines in our lives of truth and just say, you know, this is truth and I'm going to stick with this truth. And I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to be a respecter of persons. I'm not going to change my standard because somebody else, I'm not going to change my convictions because somebody else comes around. I'm not going to change my convictions because I go somewhere else. Why? Because I don't hurt somebody's feelings? What about hurting God? What about hurting the Lord? Don't you owe Him or do you not owe Him? Oh, I thought you were bought and paid for with a price. I thought you were His, not somebody else's. See, that's why you can't be a respecter of persons. Because you are bought and paid for with a price. So I'm not going to go live a compromising life for my family to make them happy. I'm not going to live a compromising life to make friends happy, to make other people. I'm not going to live my life in a compromising fashion just to make them happy. Because I'll make it real clear for you. I could care less if they approve in what I do. Care less. I know who I answer to. And it's not my mommy and my daddy or my aunts or my uncles or my grandmas or anybody else or grandpa or cousin down the road or preacher so-and-so down the road that don't like what I preach and this preacher over here that don't like what I preach and all these. Okay, you don't have to. But I'm going to stick to this right here, this Word of God. And you don't have to like it. But you can sure lump it. See, that's just being confident in a position and knowing that this book is true and that God doesn't want us being a respecter of any persons. Why can evil people be so bold, or why can people that have less standards be so bold, but we like walk around like we're ashamed to be bold for God? Like we got to hide our faith from people, hide what we believe from people, hide that we stand for something from people because it might make them upset. Who cares? I hope you do get upset. I hope it convicts you, and I hope you get right with God. But it's usually the opposite. It's usually like, well, we try to apologize for it. It's like we're apologizing for standing up for what's right. Why? You and I cannot be respecters of persons. Don't apologize for the truth. Don't apologize for standing for something. Too many times it's like we're almost ashamed of it. I'm ashamed. I won't tell the truth. I don't want them to see. They're going to think you're peculiar, strange, weird. They're not going to like what you do. You know, the one thing I've learned over the last couple weeks, the one thing that I've learned the most is I could care less what any of the preacher thinks about what I do. Friends or foes, I don't care. I want to be right with him. And if that makes them mad, so be it. There's a liberty with that. You can be kind to people, but you can just simply tell them the truth. I'm not bending. I'm not giving in. You got to start living that way. We got to start living that way. We can't be a respecter of persons. We can't be put in positions where we're going to apologize for living for God. We just got to tell them the truth. Hey, listen, I'm going to live for God. This is what we believe. This is what we hold to. If that offends you, well, your sin offends me. But more importantly, your sin offends a righteous, holy God in heaven. And he's not okay or complacent with your sin. And he's not okay and complacent with my sin. He hates it. See that? Poof! It's black and white. Problem solved. Easy. But when you don't live your life like that, and you live it off of a whim like this as a respecter of persons, you're like this. Once you say, Lord, I want what you want, and if it offends somebody else, I don't care, Lord. As long as I'm right with you, I'll love people, I'll do right, but I'm gonna live for you, and I'm going to follow you. And if somebody else don't like the path that you put me on, well, they can take it up with you. Because I'm not going to be a respecter of persons. Father, thank you, Lord, for your words. Lord, I pray they'd give us boldness in these end times. Lord, you've sent us to be a light and to shine bright for you. And Lord, to be salt. And salt, sometimes it irritates. Help us to be that light and that salt in this world. Help us to stand for the truth. Help us not to compromise our families to make other people happy. Help us not to be a respecter of persons in judgments, whether somebody be richer or poor, whether they be destitute, whatever the case may be with them, Lord, whether they have influence or not, Lord. But let us not be a respecter of persons in any judgment, but let us judge righteous judgment according to your will. Father, give us that boldness we need in these end times to stand. Give us your power, your mercy. Help us, dear God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.